The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Adam Fields, Midnight 27 Studios owner and creator of the comic book series Prowl. You are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 298. I hope you're doing well out there, and I'd like to thank you for checking out this episode. And I just said the number 298. That's what episode we are on currently. In a few weeks, episode 300 will drop. And I'm going to say I'm really excited to drop episode 300. I got a very unique guest that's coming on, and I can't wait. It's done. All I got to do is just piece it together a little bit. So I'm pretty excited for episode 300, and I'm still very proud that I managed to put out 300 episodes of this podcast. But enough about that. Let's talk about this episode, in which I've called it SummerSlam Review. That's right, the pro wrestling pundits Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze are joining me once again to talk about what happened at SummerSlam this past weekend. Now, last episode, we gave a preview where we talked about what we thought might happen. We gave some predictions on the matches and whatnot. And so this is where we sit down and we look at what we said might happen, and we kind of discuss some of the new storylines that might be happening coming out of the pay-per-view. We talk about the results. And, you know, longtime listeners, you know, when we talk about the big four pay-per-views of the WWE, that this is our format. We give you a preview and then we give you a review. And I'm pretty excited to get to this review of SummerSlam. But I think I do want to address one small issue. The Pro Wrestling Pundits and I recorded this episode this week. And unfortunately, we had to record it remotely. I have come in contact with somebody that tested positive for COVID, and while I am vaccinated and while I have been wearing a mask, especially when I have been at my shoot job, I still felt like I wanted to tell the pundits, and Joey felt that it would be a little bit more comfortable for him to do it remotely, and Rand agreed. So I know we bragged last episode about how we were together at Casa de la Orlando and how good it felt, but unfortunately, this is the situation, you know? And I feel like, even though I am pretty protected, I feel like I need to be respectful of my colleagues. And, you know, so there it is. And because of that, I'm going to go back to my closing, man. I'm going to ask you, of course, to stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy because, well, it looks like things are turning the corner for the worse in our pandemic. But I digress. Let me tell you about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast so we can get on to talking about some great wrestling action from this past weekend. And of course, when I mention the word sponsor, you should think World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And if you need a comic book store to call your own, World's Greatest Comics is definitely the one you want to choose. They've got tons of comics, they've got tons of graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, they've got tons of collectibles, they've got hundreds and hundreds of back issues, they've got a friendly staff, they've got a great pull system, they got you covered. So stop on over to the store and say hi to the fine folks, or if you're out of the Central Ohio area, you can check them out online, wgcomics.com, or find them on Facebook, they're at WG Comics. And again, I can't thank World's Greatest for being an awesome sponsor. I really do appreciate their patronage. And you know what, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand as we dissect and analyze SummerSlam. All right, joining me once again, ladies and gentlemen, are the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze. How are you this evening?
Very nice. How are you?
I'm doing well. Ringside Rand, how are you this evening?
Oh, life is good here in the Golden Ghetto.
That is fantastic to hear. So we are going to review SummerSlam. We're going to take a look at some of the predictions we made. We're going to talk about some of the winners and losers of the matches, some of the new storylines that might be springing out of the pay-per-view. We're going to rate each one of these matches based on a body slam system. One body slam for an awful match to five body slams for an awesome, awesome match. And we probably should start with something that has nothing to do with the WWE, because on the 20th of August, AEW dropped a bombshell welcoming back CM Punk. Joey, what do you think about the return of CM Punk?
I'll tell you, I'm not with the masses on it. I'm a huge CM Punk fan. I just hope that they can ride this the right way and it doesn't go too stale too fast.
I think that's a fear that I also share with you, you know, because as we have talked about, and we've been very critical, and rightfully so, the writing at times in AEW is a hot mess.
Everybody's like so excited and they're crying and they can't believe it. But is it because it's CM Punk, or is it because somebody's been away, to me, in a kind of selfish way, but whatever, for 7 years? So is it the length that somebody's been gone, or is it the actual person?
I think it's some of both. I think it was incredibly lucky, fortuitous, or well planned that he comes back in Chicago. Other than Ric Flair and Charlotte, is there any wrestler as identified with that city as he is to Chicago?
Very, very valid point. You know, yeah, he has made Chicago his home and has put it on the map. You know, has been very integral in his career. That particular place was orchestrated to be where he would return. And look, I'm going to go out and freely admit it. I was the one saying CM Punk's not coming back. I thought that they had got the United Center, I think is where they were at. They got it booked. But for me, I thought that the surprise was going to be Bryan Danielson is joining the fold.
So one of the other wrestlers I can equate to having a huge pop in their home city is the Motor City Madman with Detroit. No?
Is that when he was teaming with the Night Stalker?
Possibly, but I mean, I'd also equate it to Bret Hart in Canada.
Yeah.
And he's a heel in the United States, so they'd go to Canada and he's just the biggest face ever. I just think like people were all excited about the pop, like, oh, it's such a huge pop. All these just recently passed through adolescent wrestling fans that think they know the whole business, they're all excited, but fell. Do they realize when Triple H returned from injury, or when John Cena returned from injury fast enough at the Royal Rumble and the crowd just went nuts? It was amazing. It was a great moment. People were comparing it to the NWO. I wouldn't compare it to the NWO.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
That's my personal opinion. But people were throwing that out there, and I think that's a little bit too generous.
Is it different because this was not an injury? This was voluntary that he left the business and industry, and he came back on his own terms?
Well, I mean, he was part of the industry just last year on Fox where they talked about the WWE. I know it wasn't a direct employee of Fox, or if WWE is a direct employee of Fox, which is kind of ironic. Everybody that was on that show for the most part has gone to AEW except Booker T. You know, so everybody, you know, everybody was, he was analyzing it. So he had the time for that. So I think he was kind of, you know, trying to come up with the decision then, you know, and I'm sure if there was something that even ruined past being an announcer, I'm sure Vince shot it down, much like he wanted Macho Man to become an announcer or Piper to become an announcer. So, well, I'm sorry, I went off. What was your question again, Rand?
Is it different that he left the industry, whereas the other ones were injured and came back?
I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal, but I don't think it's as monumental. I think everybody's craving that special moment. And it was an awesome moment, but it doesn't rank up where with a lot of the ones people are just throwing them up there against and just making outlandish claims.
Okay, I'm going to say, Rand, I'm going to jump in there. I think that it does make a difference. I think the fact that he did leave, that he was fed up and said, screw it, I don't give a shit. I don't care anymore. I'm done. To be gone, okay, granted, and I agree with you, Joey, he wasn't gone the total 7 years because he did do that Fox show. I think it does matter. I think that fans wanted him to come back. And let's be honest, too. We're in a period in wrestling history where it is harder and harder and harder to make a superstar that people can get behind. So the fact that they are behind CM Punk is fantastic for the industry because, let's be honest, the WWE has been doing it for the last many, many years trying to build those superstars. They can't seem to figure out the formula. I feel AEW is still also in that same boat of trying to figure out how can we market these guys and get them mega over. So I think that that's a combination of those things. Yes, he's been gone. It was his own volition, and now he's back, and he does have that star power. You can't take that away from CM Punk. He has that star power.
I think you said it right there, the team of trying to figure out the formula. There is no formula. I think if you look at Phil Brooks, he's not an impressive, overwhelming person. But, man, you put that microphone in his hand, and you had a unique relationship between him and the audience that yes. nobody has right now.
Yes, correct. Was absolutely.
That, was that promo that good, though? You put a mic in his hand. I was expecting more, to be honest.
He didn't overdo it. He let the audience carry him as much as he carried them.
I agree, Joey. I'm going to agree with Rand. That promo was not the best. It's not, you know, earth-shattering, but I think that absolutely what you said, Rand, is he got the fans into it. The fans were behind him, and he rode that wave. The question is, does this move the meter for AEW? Rand, what do you think?
We'll see how he does in his first couple of matches. It looks like he's going to be wrestling the Brock Lesnar schedule, one match a month and a couple of appearances. What do they have, three weekly shows now, and he's going to be on one a week?
Oh, God, they have more shows than I can even keep track of. Joey, what do you think?
I thought he mentioned that he's not back part-time when he had the presser that was post his appearance. He's going to be back. This is a full-time deal. It's not a part-time deal. So I don't know what's going on with that, but I as far as moving the meter, it did at first, but I think he came out and he challenged the wrong person first. I don't understand where he can go with the program between him and Darby Allin right away. Like there's other avenues I might have went with him. Like I said, I would have booked it, played the music, and had MJF come out because he's just finished his little deal with Jericho. So maybe something like that. I just hope they book it the right way, and that's the thing I'm just so nervous about.
Yep, agreed. All right, well, enough AEW. Let's get into SummerSlam. Let's talk about the match that was on the pre-show. And I'm not sure, Rand or Joey, if you caught the match. But it was Big E taking on, of course, the man that's down on his luck, Baron Corbin. Joey, did you catch this match? Do you have any thoughts on this match?
I didn't catch the match. I think the gimmick's weird how it's going with Corbin because now – when they were in Vegas, so he hit it big on the slot. So now they're teaching people to gamble. That's a good idea so they can make lots of money. but going with, they have Happy Corbin, I guess, since they have that copyrighted. So I don't know where that's going. But, I mean, it makes sense that Big E would get his money in the bank back. And, you know, I didn't watch the match, so I can't really give it any body slams. But
I thought it was pretty average, run-of-the-mill, pre-wrestling pay-per-view show. I saw it, but I like the interesting character that Corbin's going with now. I can't think of anybody who's done this type of character.
Yeah, it is it is something unique. To me, it seems like I don't know how much longevity it has.
And where do you go from there? Like, I do remember a character that did that. Take you back to old school WCW when a certain Diamond Dallas Page lost all of his money and he had a benefactor. And then there was a rumor that's how they were going to bring in the Million Dollar Man. But obviously they brought him in to be with the NWO. So I mean, there's been stuff like that. It's just, I don't know where they can go because they never wrapped up that storyline in WCW.
Yep.
So you're telling me that WCW started a storyline and didn't finish it?
That's exactly the AEW plan, it seems like, too. So maybe they're just going through the old books of Dusty, the booking books.
The booking books?
Because, yeah, it's very similar.
You know what? I hope they're three spiral notebooks. They're three subject spiral notebooks. I so hope they are.
They're five. They're five, and they're kept in a trapper keeper.
Oh, okay.
Hot air balloons on it.
Nice. Well, Big E does pick up the victory over Baron Corbin and does get back his Money in the Bank briefcase. And so, gentlemen, let's start taking a look. And again, I don't know if we're going to go in order. Let's go in order the matches real quick. All right, let's kick things off by talking about the Raw Tag Team Championship match where we saw RK-Bro pick up the victory over AJ Styles and Omos. I'll go ahead and go first. I actually thought this match was not bad. I thought it was pretty decent. I did not anticipate RK-Bro getting the victory, as I had picked AJ and Omos, as did you, Rand. But Joey, you picked the underdog team, liking them to many of the other tag team partners that kind of don't get along storylines, whether you're talking the Rock and Sock Connection or Michaels and Austin, etc. I gave it three body slams. I thought it was a pretty decent tag team match. Joey, your thoughts?
Well, I just thought it was, to me, it was kind of better than advertised, especially with as green as Omos was. I'm glad I picked the winner.
So you can have bragging rights?
But I get bragging rights from it. But no, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I mean, it was actually decent. It was entertaining. I also gave it three body slams.
You know, it seemed awful quick. It seemed like it was only 8 or 9 minutes. It's hard to have a really good tag team match on a pay-per-view that's that quick. I thought it was a middle-of-the-card action. It'll be interesting to see what they do with AJ and Omos. But, yeah, I'm right there with average three out of five body slams.
You know, I was surprised because I watched most of Raw last night. I didn't watch all of it, but I didn't see AJ and Omos. Were they even booked on the show?
Riddle fought AJ, and he won because Omos and RKO or Randy got into it outside, and Randy hit him with the new scooter.
Okay. So they were on. They were in, I presume, was that the main event then?
I'm sorry, I didn't watch it. I just read up on it. I was being the broadcast journalist that I am as I prepped for the podcast, which any professional podcaster would do, especially one that's been nominated for awards.
That's right.
That's what I did. And that's what I found out.
We'll find out this Friday if I win any hardware. But more on that later.
Oh, is that when it goes up?
That's when it goes down. It goes down
Friday.
All right. Well, it will be interesting to see. I agree with you, Rand, where they take AJ and Omos if they split them up. Obviously, with what happened on Monday Night Raw, it looks like they're still together for the time being. So let's move on to our next match. Alexa Bliss taking on Eva Marie with Doudrop.
I think this is the kind of match you can watch with the sound off.
well done, sir. Carry on.
To me, it was the kind of match I would watch with the drapes closed, but for a whole nother reason.
Well, because you don't want people to know you're watching crappy women's wrestling. That's why. Anyways, go ahead, Rand.
Yeah, we weren't expecting much out of this, were we?
I mean, no.
It looked really good, but man, it's hard to get anything out of Eva Marie wrestling wise.
Anytime Eva Marie gets in the squared circle between those ropes, it's going to be a huge case of the drizzle shits. I gave this match one body slam. I think we all picked the right winner, though. It was unanimous.
Well, you picked Alexa. Rand and I picked Eva Marie.
Oh, so you're saying I got the first two matches right and you guys didn't?
That is correct.
That's what I heard.
Fantastic.
I gave it two body slams. Rand, what did you give it?
Hey, I'm going one.
Oh, my. I mean, the only reason why I think it got two body slams, and again, I'm curious to see where they go, because last night I know there was a promo where Doudrop kind of talked about how she kind of wanted to go her own ways and then was attacked by Eva Marie. I feel bad that Doudrop's going to probably get saddled with this feud because obviously, you know, I think that there's some plans for Alexa Bliss to go off and maybe chase a title, but I gave it two body slams. I gave it an extra body slam because I thought that the post-match hijinks with Doudrop was pretty interesting and kind of fun to set up a feud between those two. All right, moving on. It's time for the WWE United States Championship match in which Sheamus would defend against Damian Priest. I'll go first. I felt like, again, we all picked Damian Priest to win, and he did pick up the victory and win the U.S. title. I think he needs that title. And then we saw at least a glimmer of hope that he might get a shot at Bobby Lashley last night on Raw, but that obviously didn't happen. The match itself was okay. Here was my problem. It was almost 14 minutes. I think they could have cut it down to 8, and it would have made a better match. I gave it 2 body slams.
I gave it a little bit more than you did. I think Sheamus is the kind of performer that's steady, does a lot of good work, but just isn't exciting and will not be back on the top of the card again. I thought this is really good, and it makes sense that Priest is getting a title and an improvement, a promotion, so to speak. I give it 3 out of 5.
Well, I want to preface this with a conversation that we had the other night about the new Suicide Squad, where the comment was made it was the best hour and 45-minute movie that was made in 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I think this match, you could say the same thing when you just took the words out of my mouth. It was a really good 8-minute match that they put into 13 minutes or whatever. They could have cut it down. It was decently hard-hitting. I think there could have been a little bit more hard-hitting, to be honest, because of who each wrestler was. I think the winner, they picked the right winner, the right person to go over, because that push was definitely needed.
Oh, agreed.
And Sheamus being older, stuff like that. So, it told a decent story. Like I said, it went too long. I gave it 2.5 body slams.
Well, I also feel, too, that, hopefully, and this is what I joked about with a glimmer of hope, you know, on Monday Night Raw, it looked like Damian Priest might get a title shot against Lashley, and instead, Sheamus comes out, interferes, it turns into a tag match. Look, can we just end matches? Can we end feuds, excuse me, all right? Like, Sheamus and Damian Priest, they should be done. Let's move on. Let's put them on to somebody else, all right? And by that, you know, have Sheamus work with some younger person, you know, coming up through the ranks and put Damian Priest. I would love for him to chase Bobby Lashley because it would be old school how the U.S. champ was the number one contender behind the world champ. I think that would be a great storyline.
Yeah, but it'd be better, though, if it wasn't Damian Priest, because to me, no offense to Damian Priest and no offense to some of his listeners that are friends of him and huge fans, he's not a main eventer yet. So it just, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to put him in that role just yet.
Okay, agreed. Okay, all right, agreed. I like the idea that he's not there yet, but all right, possibilities are open. He's got a ton of talent. He's got great size. I think that we're going to hear a lot of from Damian Priest throughout his career. All right, let's move on to the match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team titles. It is the Usos taking on the Mysterios. And hopefully no one's right now eating a bowl of Cheerios. Okay, that was terrible. That was awful dad humor. Anyways.
Can you edit that one out?
No, I'm leaving that in. I'm going to leave that in. Okay. I think people will enjoy that.
There goes our ratings.
Joey, what'd you think about this match, the Mysterios taking on the Usos?
Honestly, I'm pissed off. What, you know, I don't see why Team DUI needs to hold on to the belt. They don't need the belts to get over. You know, what they need is to beat the breathalyzers, what they need to do. It's ridiculous, and they can still do their thing with Roman, but they don't meet the belts. I think with the Mysterios with the belts makes it more of a dynamic storyline, especially the newer feuds and the feuds they can have, because the Usos are good, but they've wrestled everybody. As far as the match, it was an okay match, but once again, I think it was one of those matches that went too long, so I'm still at about 2.5 body slams on that as well.
I agree with you. I was very shocked that the Usos won because, again, I thought, and as we all three of us picked Rey and Dominic to go over, I think that the Mysterios would be refreshing, that they could have some outstanding tag team matches and really elevate those tag belts. So I was surprised by that. But the match was pretty good. I gave it 3 body slams for the action because it was darn good. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to wonder, what were you thinking of booking the Usos to retain? Ran, what are your thoughts?
You know, we've mentioned a couple of times that we thought these matches were too long. Maybe the problem is they've got a 4-hour pay-per-view and it should be 3 hours.
I don't know. I think that's an old chicken and the egg type of quandary that they have. Is it because we booked this out for 4 hours that we got to make the matches go longer, or is it the other way around? I just looked it up. This tag match went 10 minutes. 10 minutes and some change. But it did seem to go a little bit longer. There are some matches that we're going to talk about that were way too long. I mean, we already mentioned one, but there's a few others that, you know, when you're tipping out at almost 25 minutes, I don't know. That seems a little bit too much. But let's go to the other end of the spectrum real quick. I'm sorry, Rand, did you give a rating? I apologize, on the SmackDown Tag Team title match.
I'm just going to go with 2.
Okay, 2 body slams. Okay, as I was saying, we went from a long match, all right, you know, that seemed very long. Now we go to probably the shortest match, and I hate to even use that term match, because as we were alerted to the fact that the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship match would be changed. There is no Sasha Banks. She would be replaced by Carmella. And then we have the return of Becky Lynch.
I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you both so.
That's correct. Rand got that one correct. He said the match wasn't going to happen. Both Joey and I picked Bianca to move on. I don't understand this booking whatsoever with this. So allow me a moment just, you know, to vent, if you will. I don't understand why they couldn't have Bianca Belair beat Carmella, give them 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes max. Bianca wins. Becky comes down. They start jibber-jabbering. They set something up for the next pay-per-view. Like, if it wasn't for the fact that Extreme Rules is going to be in Columbus, I probably wouldn't watch the pay-per-view. All right, but if it's in Columbus and then you added on the fact that we may have this matchup, oh, my goodness. You know, yes, I'm making sure. I'm canceling plans. I'm going to watch Extreme Rules. I don't get it. You jobbed out a woman that you have been building for almost a year who is incredibly over. She is beaten literally in 26 seconds. Rand, what do you think?
Oh, I think it was completely disrespectful to Belair. Maybe they shouldn't have had the match. Maybe you're suggestion of her beating Carmella, and as she's walking to the back, maybe have the man's music hit. I think there are a lot of other ways to do this. I think it takes the wind out of Bianca's sails. I think it's intended to make Becky Lynch look good, but I don't think it worked. It'll be interesting to see her as a heel against Bianca.
Well, that's assuming that they continue with this storyline. I mean, here's the thing. If you read up a little bit, obviously they were going to have Becky Lynch there, and she was going to make an appearance on SummerSlam. I mean, let's be honest. They had to do something to trump CM Punk, or try to trump CM Punk. So they have her there. You know that she's going to make an appearance somehow. Probably, I don't know this for a fact, but probably she was just going to show up at the end of that match, no matter who won, Sasha Banks or Bianca Belair. All right. But the fact of the matter is, the WWE knew for days that Sasha Banks had not cleared a COVID test. They knew that for days. You mean to tell me this was the best plan B they could come up with? I mean, come on.
Maybe that there was no plan B involved in a different way. Maybe Bianca's pregnant. Maybe there's something going on there. Maybe she has a health scare. That was supposed to be a joke, by the way. I know it wasn't as good as your Cheerios joke. But maybe that was the plan B. Maybe there's something wrong with Bianca. Maybe we haven't heard, or maybe, like I said, maybe that she's Prager's. I brought that up the other night. you know, black and white, God, this looks horrible. But maybe there's a lot of gray in between there. Maybe that's how they were going to book. Maybe Sasha was just going to squash Bianca and then set up third option, the rematch, like the rubber match.
I've gone on record. I'm not a huge fan of the character of Bianca Belair, but I totally agree with what you said, Rand. It was disrespectful. Really. I mean, she has worked hard. She has gotten over. You know, she has improved a little bit, you know, in the ring.
I didn't say none of this. Don't put me there. If you look at it in black and white, everything that Rand said is correct. Everything that you're agreeing with is correct. But not everything is always in black and white. There's probably some gray here that us as the smart marks aren't that smartened up to. If it's just okay. That simple thing that they just brought in Becky and squashed her, well, you know, then yeah, that's crappy. But maybe there's a couple other things behind the scenes. Because I remember when we talked about it, there was stuff where Bianca was missing shows too.
Maybe Sasha didn't want to lose to Bianca. Maybe that happens and suddenly, hey, Becky, are you in town? Let's get you on the show. Backstage negotiations and politics involved.
Oh, I don't think it was just on a whim that they had Becky Lynch there. I mean, I think that somehow she was going to show up on this pay-per-view somehow, some way, whether it was an interview or something along those lines, or she was going to play air guitar with Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't know, but I don't believe it was just on a whim. I believe that it was probably planned out.
Boobs. Sorry.
All right. So guys, did you give a rating to the, Bianca Belair match? Because I'll be honest, I didn't give it a rating because it wasn't a match in my eyes. Joey, what do you think? What did you rate it?
I didn't give it a rating either because it wasn't truly a match.
Rand, same thing?
Yeah, I don't think it qualifies.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next grudge match, and I'll use that term loosely. Drew McIntyre taking on, of course, Jinder Mahal. Let's start with Joey. Joey, what'd you think of this match?
Does that sum it up for me? Come on, dude. Like, if you had to take a pee, if you wanted to go smoke a drag, if you wanted to just take a quick nap, this was the time to do it. Because Jinder needs to lose Beer and Shaky or whatever their names are. And or whatever. I don't know. And then impaling with swords at the end, it was dumb. If this would have been like a regular match with all the other bullshit, without the bullshit, it would have been better. But it was just one big gimmick. It was annoying, and I gave it one body slam.
Ooh, wow. Okay, Rand, how about you?
I gave it two, but this sure seems like it could have been a Monday Night Raw 10 o'clock match.
Oh, exactly, Rand. You took the words right out of my mouth. I also gave it two body slams, and you're absolutely right. I was thinking this is a third-hour Raw match. That's exactly what I thought, man. I don't know what they're going to do with Jinder Mahal and Veer and Shanky, but they got to do something. Book these guys better. They got to do something better with them because they're just –
Well,
drowning
if it was booked on Raw, it would have been a two-body slam match. Sorry. But I guess what I was going by putting that type of match on a pay-per-view. That's why I gave one body slam. They could have eliminated that and made that show that much shorter, and it would have the flow of it would have been much better.
Right, exactly. All right, we're moving on to the triple threat match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair picks up the victory over Nikki and, of course, Rhea Ripley. We all thought that Nikki A.S.H. was going to walk away because we all kind of agreed that she needed the belt to continue to stay over, but they put the belt on Charlotte Flair. And Rand, I know that you spoke to me off air that you have a hot take. Would you like to go ahead at this point and drop it on the people?
Sure, people. Listen up. We talked last time about John Cena potentially tying Ric Flair for the most world titles. I think the person who's going to break that, and no one is going to complain, I think Charlotte Flair becomes the holder of the most world titles. I think she is incredible at this. She has the psychology down pat. She can move the crowd instantly. I think she's heads and shoulders above the women wrestlers. And I think she'll be the first one to 17 world titles.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the match in itself. I thought it was a decent match, but this is another one. It went 13 minutes that I feel like if you trimmed it down to 8 or 9 minutes, it would have been a much better match. I gave it 2 body slams. Joey, what are your thoughts on the match?
Well, first of all, I hope Rand took time to wipe the slobber off of his mouth after going crazy about Charlotte there. Yeah, it's disappointing. Like, she doesn't need to hold the title. Keep it on Nikki for just a little bit longer. I think can help that character, and because Charlotte doesn't need that to get over. But I also think that it was a power move to put it back on Charlotte because her fiance is in AEW, daddy's going to AEW, and we better make her happy.
Oh, okay. I never thought about it that way, Joey. I never thought that it might be a little bit of a power play. That's an intriguing theory.
But as far Rand, as body slams, I'll give it 2.5 body slams.
All right, 2.5 body slams. Rand, your comments on the match, please.
I give it 3. I have no problem with the only drawback I have is you have a baby face tapping out. That if she had passed out or somehow lost that way, don't take the wind out of the baby face's almost superhero's character by making her tap out.
Especially with, and this does bother me at times, you never work the leg. Like, that's the thing that always bothers me is when submission holds are slapped on, it's more believable to me if you spent 5, 6, 7 minutes of the match working on the knee and then you throw on the figure four. Okay, now I'm believing, you know, that that's going to hurt you even worse. So I think, and I agree, I think that Nikki probably tapping out was not a good way to go. But ultimately, Nikki A.S.H. is now a former champion.
The L.O.S.E.R.
The L.O.S.E.R. Well, guys, before we move on and talk about the last 3 matches that we have on the show, I want to talk about my great sponsor. And, of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. I mean, they've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, posters, a great staff, a clean, wonderful store. They got pretty much everything. Everything that you need in a comic book store, they got. So you should stop on over, especially if you're in Central Ohio. The store is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're listening out of town, you can still check out the store. Just jump on over to the website, wgcomics.com, or you can even find them on Facebook. Just search for WG Comics. And I truly do appreciate the sponsorship from World's Greatest Comics.
You know, it's funny. When I used to be single, I also had the words great clean staff in my dating profile, which is kind of ironic.
Great clean staff.
But to be honest with you, though, what's great about that store is their selection of Marvel Legends figures. So if you're a huge Marvel Legends fan and you're like missing a couple from a series, that's a good place to go.
All right, there you go. All right, let's move on to Edge taking on Seth Rollins. Rand, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on the match?
I thought this was probably the best match of the show.
Really?
Yes. It rejuvenated the crowd after some of that other stuff. I just thought it was the best match of the night. I think it's a great feud. I think these are 2 guys, similar size and shape. Even at Edge's age, he can still go. I think this was the best match of the night. And I had no trouble with Edge winning.
How many body slams did you give it?
4.5.
Wow, okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think Rand needs to check his nice clean staff because I think he overshot that one a bit. It was an okay match, but I don't think it's worthy of 4.5 body slams. I could see maybe 3 or 3.5, but I think the placement of this on the card, if they would have done something, trimmed it down a little bit and done it earlier, I think it would have been a 4.5 body slam match. but I think placement, I think as long as the card went, the opening was really cool. The entrances was really cool. The whole Brood entrance and stuff like that. But it just kind of lost some steam about 5 minutes in, and then it kind of came back, and then all of a sudden it's over. I enjoyed it. Did I enjoy it? Would I give it 4.5 body slams? No, I would give it a solid 3.5. And that's still, you know, I'm awfully always tough on Edge and Seth Rollins, but I'm at 3.5. How did we do as far as picking that match?
Well, Rand picked Seth. I picked Edge, and you said Edge would win by disqualification.
But I still picked Edge to win, right?
That is correct, yes.
Survey says one more for the good guys.
Ding, 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 ding.
Joey, I'm with you. 3.5 body slams. This is the match that I was complaining about. This match went 21 minutes and 15 seconds, and it just seemed to go on and on and on. And again, another example of, had you 21 minutes, bring it down to 15. That still would have told a great story. That would have kept people energized. I mean, I just think, you know, and again, I don't know about the placement of that match on the card, but maybe you're right. Maybe they moved it up earlier in the show. Maybe that 21 minutes wouldn't have seemed so bad, but oosh, it was a little bit draining.
Why does it seem to be a recurring theme? Like, okay, we know Edge can go 20 plus minutes. Since he's been back, it seems like his matches, like they're trying to prove that he can actually go. Like, we know you're back. We know you came back from a tremendous injury, but we don't need to see you for that long.
I agree. It's a complaint of mine with modern
wrestling. I feel like they try to, like, kind of prove a point with his matches for some weird reason.
Okay. Well, and this is a complaint I have about the modern wrestling scene, is that it's fine to have a 6 to 8 minute match, folks. You don't have to do 25 minutes. So let's move on to a match that clearly was not anyways near double digits, and that was the match for the WWE Championship, where Goldberg took on the champion, Bobby Lashley.
It went longer than what I thought, which I've often been told that by the ladies as well, but it's turned into Goldberg just needs to take his boots and hang them up. I know he wants to get this payday, and I know they probably want him in Saudi Arabia. They want to get him back on TV like Lesnar and blah, 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 and bring back Yokozuna, reanimate his corpse for Saudi Arabia. But he didn't need to be on the show. They need to find a better suitor as a challenger for Lashley. Lesnar would have been cooler here, to be honest, than Goldberg. I did not really enjoy the match. I didn't enjoy the placement of his son in the match. Maybe it's foreshadowing that after his son graduates from high school, he wants to be a pro wrestler. Maybe it's cool, but I don't want to see that in a main event at SummerSlam or co-main event. I gave this 1.5 body slams.
I gave it 1 body slam. I didn't like the ending either. It was a ref stoppage because Goldberg got a knee injury thanks to MVP hitting him with the cane. I agree with you. There were several times where Goldberg did not look like he was being safe in that ring, especially like that body slam from the top rope. Jesus Christ, I thought he was going to kill Lashley. Goldberg needs
been safe. The dude put Bret Hart out of wrestling.
Well, that's true. Back in his prime, he was not the safest worker either. You are absolutely correct on that, sir. But yeah, I mean, Goldberg needs to call it quits. I'm sorry. I do give him credit, though. I will give Goldberg credit. He looks damn good for his age. I mean, he's still put together. He's still got traps. So I give him credit that he does look great. Sadly, he can't work great. Rand?
I would like to see him real quick. Sorry, I don't want to take from your time here, Rand. But if you're going to use him as a special enforcer referee, or use him as somebody that's, you know, the muscle of the authority of whatever show. But as far as doing full matches, it's time to hang the tights up, brother.
Hey, I wouldn't even take it if he was in a tag. If you put him in a tag team where he could just stand on the apron, he'd get the hot tag, clothesline, 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 spear, and there you go. That's it. You know what I mean?
How sweet would it be to have, like, a tag team go after some, like, see, this would have made the whole thing with Drew McIntyre cooler. That angle. He doesn't have to go after the title every time. He's getting beat down by Deer and Skanky and those guys, and they're getting, and then all of a sudden Drew's getting beat down. Here comes Goldberg to help him. Then there's a handicap tag. Perfect, great booking. Why not? But not one on one as a co-main on a pay-per-view.
Agreed. All right, Rand, your thoughts on Goldberg versus Lashley?
I noticed fairly early in the match that Lashley, the heel, was getting cheered, and I assumed that meant that people didn't think Goldberg deserved to be in the match, that Goldberg didn't deserve to have a title match. We had three people in this pay-per-view who had title matches that didn't earn them by working matches to get to them. Cena didn't wrestle, Goldberg didn't wrestle, and Becky Lynch didn't wrestle. And yet those three all got title shots. I think the crowd started supporting Lashley because they don't think Goldberg deserves to be there.
And you know what? You bring up a valid point. I wonder how many people were turned off by the Becky Lynch victory. I mean, yeah, sure, they popped, but did they take a few moments to reflect afterwards and go, you know what? That's pretty shitty booking, and that's pretty shitty what they did. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's a good point, Rand. How many body slams did you give it?
One.
Oh, man. Whew. And it deserved it. All right, it's main event time. Roman Reigns taking on John Cena. It is for the WWE Universal Championship. I'll start first and just say that this was match of the night. This was a main event worthy match. It had a big feel to it. There was tension to it. There was great action. The ending was pretty good. The fallout was even better, which we'll get to in a minute. I gave it 4.5 body slams. I really liked it. I really had nothing much to say negative about it other than John Cena needs to maybe get a new hairdo. But other than that, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Roman Reigns is trash talking while he's dominating Cena. I think that's great. The character that Roman Reigns is in, and Paul Heyman gets a lot of the credit for this, I think it's a great character. I think he is good at it. I think he is at Roman Reigns' best right now. I give him 4.5 as well.
Well, I'm with you on match of the night. We talked about that, so I'm in agreement with that. It was definitely enjoyable. It was very entertaining. But I remember a time not so long ago in the WWE that matchup would have not been match of the night, which is crazy to think about how, like, you talk about somebody being gone and coming back. So Cena comes back to a nice pop. He should have had all this ring rust. He does well. We're talking about Reigns as a heel doing well. So that was the formula to make this a 4.5 star match. I don't think they would have done that back when we were just saw Cena every Monday or every Thursday, Friday, whatever night SmackDown was on. It was nice because he was gone. It was something different. Like I said, match of the night. I also give it 4.5 body slams, but it's a shame that should have been the main event with so much other possibilities they could have had with the whole show. But I enjoyed it. It was a great way to take it home, and then the fallout was pretty cool too.
Yes, the fallout. Brock Lesnar making his return, heading to the ring. Heyman and Reigns bailing and looking like they saw a ghost. And then the show went off the air, but apparently after that, there was an F5 to John Cena. And now sets up what could be one of the best storylines that we have seen in WWE for years. I'm just saying it. I mean, I am absolutely 100% hooked into this storyline. Who is Heyman going to go with? What's going to happen? Is Roman going to beat Lesnar? I mean, I'm absolutely so looking forward to SmackDown this Friday and finding out what's going to happen with those three.
Are they going to throw it away with Saudi Arabia, which I feel like they're going to do, or are they going to push this to Survivor Series?
If they're smart, they push it to Survivor Series, but they're not smart. So
I agree, but they've been making some questionable decisions, and you know, Brock ain't cheap. So
Rand,
where do they go with this?
Rand, what do you think?
I think they've made a lot of questionable decisions around the matches in Saudi Arabia. I don't think this needs to be a Saudi Arabia show. I think this needs to be here next couple of pay-per-views, maybe even take it up to the Royal Rumble, where one of them or both of them are in the Rumble if they're not. I think you could do a lot with this. Keep them apart.
They're saving Reigns, Brock going to Mania, so I think that's when you'll start seeing that after Survivor Series. I see, what I would do is I honestly would maybe have them do this match at in Saudi Arabia and have a three-way with Cena at Survivor Series.
Oh, at Survivor Series. Okay, I was going to say, what do you mean that three-way
goes? Not the three-way that you look on the dark web for, John. You know what I'm talking about.
No, come on
three-way
now.
Match.
Come on now.
Would you stop? Anyway, so I think if it's booked right, and because we just need this to bridge to keep us interested to through Survivor Series, and then I think after the end of the year, after the day one pay-per-view, maybe even that they're doing on New Year's Day, I think we'll start seeing them build The Rock versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I you know, obviously I think that's been the rumor here for quite a while, that The Rock and Roman will be heading up Mania. You know, I look, here's an idea that since you were talking, Joey, look, if you do Roman versus Brock in Saudi Arabia, have it be a no finish. Like, it's not, you know, it's some type of schmoz. Maybe Lesnar does after the bell hit the F5, so the fans go home happy. You bring it back here and you work with it. You know, you work with it for whatever pay-per-view, probably Survivor Series, and let them have a best of three. I mean, I think it's believable. There's no way, even if Reigns wins in that first match with Lesnar, there's no way that fans wouldn't go, well, goddammit, he deserves a rematch because he's Brock Lesnar, man. You know what I mean? Like, he's a bad son of a bitch. Give him another shot. I think it would make perfect sense to do it that way. But, of course, because it makes perfect sense means they're not going to do it.
Wrestling logic. Where's the money go, Rand?
There's a rather large bucket on the living room table. I'm taking IOUs at this point.
Can I Venmo you the money?
Okay.
All right. Overall thoughts about the pay-per-view itself. What'd you think overall? Give it a body slam rating, if you will. Joey, overall, from start to finish, SummerSlam, what rating do you give it?
Okay, so I don't think it's as bad as people have attacked it, but it wasn't good either. So it's very middle of the road. I'll give it 3 body slams overall. And that's just because a couple certain matches that caught my eye.
I'm right there with him. We mentioned time on a few occasions. I'm not so sure a 4-hour pay-per-view plus a pre-show is the future. I think if you go to an event like that, that's 5 hours. That's an awful lot of time in an arena. I think it was a really good pay-per-view. I think because it's SummerSlam, the standard's a little bit higher. I think it's 3 out of 5.
I agree with you, Rand, and Joey. I give it a 3 body slams. Again, I also agree with you, Joey. I don't think it was as bad as people were making out to be, but it wasn't good either. And you know what? Even though this was a Saturday pay-per-view, still 5 hours is a long time to sit on your couch and watch wrestling. That's all I'm going to say. So
the perfect way to trim it down was we got rid of the dumb promos, and you got rid of that Drew McIntyre match and just did it on Raw.
Exactly. That would
have
been.
I think you cut both of those. It's streamlined. It's 3 hours or so, and let's go. LFG, baby. Let's get it done.
Why did Shinsuke Nakamura have an entrance but not a match?
Exactly. That was just wasting more time that we could have cut from the pay-per-view, the streamline. Even all the celebrity interviews, Mario Lopez and Tiffany Haddish had to interview people, and they were awful, by the way. So I don't know. It's probably more of that we got to have celebrities on, and we got to do bigger and better. It's got to be a spectacle. Well, sometimes a spectacle is not always the greatest thing to see, I guess. All right, with that, guys, let's let people know where they can find us. DJ Joey Blaze, you probably won't have an OnlyFans after October, but nonetheless, where else can folks find you on the internet?
Well, you can keep an eye on my Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze. I'll tell you where I'm leaving after OnlyFans. I might put a poll up to see where my my constituents would like me to go. But if you're local and you'd like to find me, you can find me Sunday at the Ohio State Fairgrounds at the Lausche Building. I'll be there from 8 to 4 for the CTS Toy Show, where I'll be peddling all kinds of fine products. You could almost, you could call me Joe Aluka, because I will be peddling products beyond belief.
You want to try this hand cream? All right. Ran, where can folks find you?
I'm confused. Is he going to be a DJ at a toy show? Or is he going to be a customer at the toy show?
I'm going to be a DJ at an adult toy show down the road. But I'm going to be a proprietor, if you will, or a vendor at the toy show, where I will have three tables of toy goodness for everyone to purchase from.
Vendor, wasn't that Skeletor's henchman?
No, that was his same-sex lover. It was Bendover. Bendorver. That's what it was. Yeah.
All right. Anywho, with that, ladies... what can I say? I try to keep him in line, folks, but, you know. Anyways.
Was that better, though, than my walking, my Skeletor there for a minute? I don't know.
Nah, your walking was much better than Skeletor. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. That wasn't good. All right, let you sign off, brother.
All right, man. With that, I want to thank you two for coming on. I'm going to throw it to quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze talking about SummerSlam. And maybe you agree with some of the opinions we expressed, and maybe you disagree with some of those opinions. Well, you can let me know what you think, and you can do that a couple different ways. First, you could shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can leave me a note over on the Facebook page or the Instagram feed. Just search for @PVDcast. And of course, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And maybe you want to let some folks know where they can listen to the PVDcast. Well, send them on over to PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting platforms. Just go to your favorite platform, look for the search bar, put PVDcast in the search engine. Sometimes you have to put my name after it. And you should find it. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribing means you never miss an episode. Now, maybe all of that was a little too much for you to handle, so let me tell you an easier way that you can catch the weekly episode of the PVDcast, and that's by attending one of the Facebook broadcasts that I do each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page, once again, that's @PVDcast, where you can hear that episode, you can interact with me in the comments section, you can send over your questions, I answer them. It's a great amount of fun. You don't want to miss it. So there's another option for getting your fill of yours truly in the PVDcast. Hey, I'd like to urge you to check out my friends, the Three Geeks and the Three Geeks podcast over at threegeeks.ninja. They have some great content that you should check out as well. They also simulcast the Facebook broadcast of the PVDcast. Once again, check them out. They are over at threegeeks.ninja. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.